Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, we'd like to thank you for tuning in to the world. Hi, my name is Aaron Snowell. They call me the Hall of Fame Trainer of Champions. And we have our world famous radio aficionado taking us on another magic carpet ride this week around the world, Bob Murray. What's going on, Bob?
Hey, Aaron. Hello. Yeah, we're back at it. And, yeah, we'll be taking a short trip over to Brooklyn to talk about what's happening there. But we have a lot of other great places to go across the world. Some other big title fights happening, too. And we'll recap some of the things that have happened over the past week, plus some things that are happening in the not-too-distant future as well. So, yeah, big show. Lots of things to talk about.
Okay, that's great. Well, Bob, what do we got coming up around the world before we get into the fight that's happening tonight and the fight that happened last week? We'll get into that.
Yeah, sure, definitely. Well, we'll just briefly start by saying we're going to be talking about the Barclays Center, Brooklyn, New York, USA. The big one tonight, Dante Wilder, 40 wins, 0 losses, 1 draw, 1 famous draw, 39 knockouts out of those 40 wins. He defends his WBC World Heavyweight title against a 20-1 with 18 knockouts, Dominic Brazil. Also on the Showtime event, Gary Russell Jr., 29-1, 17 knockouts, defends his WBC World Featherweight title when he faces Kiko Martinez, 39-8-2 with 28 KOs. Unbeaten lightweight Juan Hernandez, the 16-0, fights Ardenas Mendez, 25-5-2 on the Showtime telecast. And there's also the heavyweight matchup of Robert Alfonso, 18-0, versus Iago Calate, 26-4. Other sites in the U.S. include Washington, D.C., where hometown hero Tiara Brown, she's 7-0, 5 KOs, clashes with Angel Gladney, 10-14-1 in a female featherweight feature. Hockenson, Delaware, welcomes Hector Camacho Jr., 58 wins, 7 losses, 1 draw, 32 knockouts. He's back on the comeback trail when he steps into the ring to take on Victor Abreu, coming in with a 9-5 record in the super welterweight finale there. It's Cassius Anderson, 6-1, versus Ronald Baca, 9-3-4, in the heavyweight headliner in Malmö, Ohio. And super lightweight Sonny Fredrickson, 20-1, 13 KOs, and Josh Larea, 25-10, go at it in Dearborn, Michigan. Rosemont, Illinois, highlights the Tommy Hughes, 8-1, versus Chris Chapman, 15-10-1, super middleweight contest. Super featherweight Carlos Dixon tops the card in Louisville, Kentucky, and female welterweight Alejandra Ayala, 11-4, 6 KOs, finishes the night in Gary, Indiana. 4-0 cruiserweight Kenneth Allen battles the debuting Hamadillo Abdullah in the main event in Houston, Texas. Junior Columbus fights Tyler Pogline in the super welterweight showcase in Golden, Colorado. And cruiserweight Jared Ferguson headlines in Worley, Idaho. And out in Hawaiian Gardens, California, Aaron Tohill, she's 7-4-1, and Raquel Miller, undefeated at 8-0, live for the vacant NABF female middleweight belt. Ryan Rosicki, 9-0, and Sean Miller, 18-4-1, both seek the open WBC International Silver Cruiserweight crown in the copper in Sydney, Nova Scotia, Canada. Light heavyweight Stephen Clement and Dennis Martin clash in Campbellton, New Brunswick. A couple of big title fight venues headlining the action in the UK. First on ESPN Plus from Stephen Oz, it's unbeaten Billy Joe Saunders, 27-0, 13 KOs, crossing the ropes to take on Shafat Usufi, 27-3-2, 20 knockouts for the vacant WBO World Super Middleweight title. Also 10-0-1, Brad Foster steps in with Ashley Lane, 13-8-2, for both the Triple BMC British and the Commonwealth British Empire Super Bantamweight belts. It's Boy Jones, 18-2-1 versus undefeated Sean Cooper, 8-0, for the open WBO youth lightweight crown. And up-and-coming heavyweight Joe Joyce, 8-0, all 8 wins by knockouts, fighting the 34-3 with 25 KOs, Alexander Ustinov. Two great title fights featuring unbeaten tops the card in Glasgow, Scotland, with a 19-0 with 12 knockouts. Van the Beast, Baranchik, faces the 14-0 with 12 KOs, Josh the Tartan Tornado Taylor, for the IBF World, which is Baranchik's, and WBC Silver, which is Taylor's super lightweight crown. And it's Emmanuel Rodriguez, 19-0, 12 KOs, versus Naoya Inoue, 17-0, 15 knockouts in a unification matchup for the IBF and WBA World Bantamweight titles. in Bingham in Nottinghamshire. The welterweight clash of Regis Sugden and N.J. Hall tops tonight. And over in Belfast, Northern Ireland, lightweight James Tennyson, 23-3, takes on the 10-10-1 Rhea Morena. On the continent, Aarhus, Denmark, Noriega Mack, 42-16-1, and Matteo Damian Veron, 26-3-3, vie for the vacant IBA World Super Middleweight crown. Karlsruhe, Germany, features a female lightweight battle between Priska Vicholt, 9-6, and Possima Logic, 12-4, and the battle for the Open GBU International Middleweight title between Martin Asumanjan, 7-1-1, and Ramon Lopez-Mejia, 5-0. Jacques Hello France will feature the Marion Desleon versus Azim Mbaio welterweight contest. And action throughout Italy tonight with the Simone Brusa versus Offman Giwal middleweight bout, the headliner in Lombardia. And in Lazio, super welterweight Tiziano Bordati and Christian Kovac meet up in that finale. Benito has the Andre Roncon versus Danilo Coche middleweight mashup, and as their topper, in Pibon middleweight Gabriel Gitto and Giacomo Battoni meet up. In Bellinzona, Switzerland, undefeated heavyweight Labano Zoshars, 11-0, 9 KOs, battles the 5-2-1 Flavio Mori. And in Malaga, Andalusia, Spain, 9-0, Samuel Molina clashes with Ezequiel Victor Fernandez. He comes in with a record of 28-2-1 for the Open IBO Ibero-American lightweight belt. Tirana, Albania, checks in tonight, showcasing the Alban Doriki versus Matteo Parmigiani super welterweight bout. And the super featherweight fight between native son of Gamey Chupakov, 20-1, and the 40-8 Alexander Munoz, headlines in Ekaterinburg, Russia, and in Chelyabinsk, it's cruiserweight Lennart Perez being featured. Jumping back to the Atlantic Ocean and a couple of island stops, first in Marabella, Trinidad and Tobago. The female light heavyweight battle between Jamila Jones and Sharon Ward ends the night. And in Santiago de los Caballeros, it's Dominican Republic, it's Jose Olua versus Jose Isal Hernandez. They fight in the welterweight finale. And down in Durango, Mexico, we have featherweights Emmanuel Dominguez, 24-8-2, and Alberto Garcia, 6-8-5, battle as the finale. And Cheers Bar in Tijuana co-features the super flyweight clash of Alejandro Santiago Barrios versus Marco Montero Montano. And the super welterweight battle between the 16-0 Hector Manuel Zepeda and Giovanni Gonzalez at 7-4. Bantamweights Carlos Roberto Perez and Vicente Falcon go at it in Delgado, Jalisco. And in Saltillo, 66-11 super featherweight Johnny Gonzalez meets up with Rafael Hernandez, 30-11-3. Jose Zepeda, 30-2 versus Eleazar Valenzuela, 18-12-4 super lightweight showdown is the finale in Mexico City. Alan Juarez faces fellow super featherweight Jordan Rodriguez in the headliner in Malpasillo, Nicaragua. A usual night of title fights on Tai Chi Sports TV in Buenos Aires, Argentina, when Omara Andres Navarez, he's 48-3-2, 25 knockouts, and Carlos Jorge Luis Sardinez, 15-1, both seek the Open IBF Latino Bantamweight crown and IBF Latino lightweight title holder. And local favorite, Gustavo Daniel Lemos, 21-0, 11 KOs, defends against Pedro Verdú, 28-20-3. Felipe Santos Pedroso, 16-5, and Leandro da Silva, 4-0, clash for the vacant Brazilian middleweight belt in Rio Grande do Sul, Brazil. Out in Pacifica, in Cessnock, New South Wales, Australia, 20-1, Dylan Emery fights the 5-2 Victor Odindo for the vacant Australian super lightweight contest. And 5-1-1, Joshua Jenkins takes on Blake Travers, 6-1-1 for the Open Australian super middleweight belt. And you know, Troy O'Malley steps in with Isaac Buckley, 6-1-1 for O'Malley's Australian New South Wales state super welterweight title. Unbeaten David Light, he comes in with a record of 12-0, 8 KOs, battles Mark Flanagan, 24-6 for the vacant WBO Oriental Cruiserweight belt taking place in Auckland, New Zealand. Dang Phuong, Thailand, we see Nailophan Kakana, 44-1-1, 34 knockouts. He'll defend his WBC Asian Boxing Council Bantamweight title against Sonny Boy Jaro, 45-14-5, 32 KOs. Ho Chi Minh City, Vietnam, features the Air Pen versus Satria Atasena heavyweight clash. And Taipei, Taiwan, features the super featherweight fight between Chia Chung Hun, 4-1-1, 4 KOs, and Anurag Madua, 6-3 with 4 KOs. Kunming, China, headlights the Quan Wang Lei versus Kun Zile super lightweight contest. And the Japanese Super Bantamweight Championship is on the line, where Waiichi Tamura, 12-3-1, and Yasuku Kuga, 17-3-1, meet up in Tokyo, Japan. And one other note, on Sunday in Kobe, Japan, Felix Alvarado, 34-2, 30 knockouts, will defend his IBF World Light Flyweight title against the local favorite, Reya Konishi, coming in with a record of 17-1 with 7 KOs. And there we go, 24 countries bouncing all around the world. And, man, getting tired after that one. That was a long trip.
Very, very long trip on the magic carpet ride, Bob. But, you know, on a softer note, there's been some sad news in boxing with the death of number one, Burt Cooper. Cooper was around the Redding and Pottsville area there near the end. There he passed, and our condolences go out to Burt Cooper and his family, and also the great boxing judge who was a HBO person on the telecast who scored the boxing for HBO, Harold Letterman, a dear friend of mine and a dear friend and a gentleman and a scholar to the game of boxing. And we like to say, who died at 79 years old. So he meant a whole lot to the game. Harold did, and he's going to be sadly missed. And I wish him, his family, we do, from each and every one of us, condolences to his family. His daughter is a boxing judge too, Julie. So, you know, he bring her along while he was living, and she turned out to be a fine boxing judge in her own right. But, hey, look, our prayers and stuff go out to the families.
Yes, yes, indeed. Yeah, that was kind of like bang, bang, too, last week, yeah.
Yeah, it was one right after another, yeah. But to get back, since we're talking about death, you know, the fight tonight, Dante Wilder, he bring up about if – Brazil, if he dies in the ring, he'd pay for the funeral. Man, that's oh man. It may get headlines, man, but if that happens, man, that opens a whole another can of worms for Dante Wilder. It's a different story, you know. You know, you can understand his mindset. He, you know, he's a puncher, and punchers deal with extreme confidence, Bob. They can, you know, they believe if they hit the Empire State Building with a punch, they believe they can knock down the Empire State Building. That's what makes them devastating punchers, because of their confidence. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, I think he don't meet it literally. This is, you know, I hope he don't. But he has that type of mindset where he just wants to dominate with his punching power. And that's why these guys can punch like that, man, because they deal with this extreme confidence. But to get into the analytical part of the fight, Dante Wilder, he has to be careful. He has to be careful in the fight in these terms. The last few fights, as you've seen, he's looking for one punch and relying on his punching power just to knock a guy flat. And the way boxing goes, you have to take boxing round by round. And you fight each round to win that round. And at the end, if the fight goes the distance, is that you won enough rounds to win the fight. Dante Wilder, in his last few fights, he's been pacing himself just looking for one big bomb. And guys are winning and stealing rounds from him because he's not, you know, staying busy. The art of boxing, hitting and don't get hit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Make them miss, make them pay. He's not putting that science down. He's relying on a one-punch knockout. Now, Brazil is a big guy in the fight tonight. When they weighed in yesterday, Deontay Wilder weighed 223 pounds, Brazil 253 pounds. So there's something like a 32 or over 30-some pounds differential in their weight and size. But it's not the size that you win or you fail. It's the size of the fight that's in the man. And we hope that Brazil's done a great job. He got a great trainer, Virgil Hill, was a former world champion, a great champion in the light heavyweight division. But, you know, for him, he can't let his punches hang. You know, he's a big guy, long arms. A lot of times he punch, he don't snatch his hand back, like offense, defense. If your offensive punch, you got to bring and snatch your hand back so you can defense a counter. And I've seen, you know, he has these weaknesses in his performance because he lets his punches hang out there like that. With Deontay Wilder being a bigger guy, more likely he's going to counter him and hit him with the big shots that Deontay Wilder throws. If he has worked on his offense and his defense, when he throws a punch, get your hands back so you can defense the counters. And if he can stay busy round by round on Deontay Wilder, if he didn't work on staying busy Deontay Wilder himself, hopefully Brazil can take the fight down the stretch and bring it to the scorecard. And because of Deontay Wilder not punching a lot, he may be able to steal the fight from him. You know what I mean? So it's an interesting scenario. If Brazil wins, you know, what does that fight look like with Anthony Joshua and Tyson Fury? So, you know, that's why I say, Bob, when you're in this situation, they put $100 million down on the table. Take the $100 million, get the big fight that you need in order to fight to go win and get that big money in your pocket. You know what I mean? Because some guys hungry when they start talking about that big money.
Yeah, Wilder was just talking this week about $100 million for Joshua, but he has to get by Brazil tonight anyway. So it's all moot if he loses. But, yeah, as you mentioned, it was the Ortiz fight and also the Fury fight, and most people had him losing both fights until, you know, he got the draw against Fury, but also knocked out Ortiz. But, yeah, he was losing those fights just because of exactly what you said. He was just kept trying to do a big KO punch, but was losing the fight, you know, not doing what he had to do to win, win the round.
Yeah, and tonight, you know, because, you know, one guy, the timing ain't there, the opening not there, and you're not going to be able to catch a guy with one devastating punch like that. And you have to work. A puncher has to stay busy and create the opening by staying busy. And, you know, when you can punch, you hit a guy with a punch that you don't think it has that much smoke on it or power on it, and you hit him in the right spot. Now he goes, you say, well, darn, I didn't throw it that hard. But it was the timing of you being relaxed and turning it over properly that gets guys out of there. You know what I mean? So
right,
we have to look at that, you know. But to go back to last week, there was an exciting fight down there in Virginia that
right,
was on
right.
Fox. You know, man, did them guys fight. J-Rock from Philadelphia. Yeah, and Swift.
Jared Heard, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Swift Heard, yeah.
Yeah.
How about that? Yeah, our man from Philly came out with the title. Yeah, yeah. But
yeah,
that was it. Yeah, gave Heard his first loss. That was a good fight indeed, yeah. And also, we want to give it up to Stephen Fulton, too, out of Philly. He fought on that undercard and won the IBO World Super Bantamweight title, too. So a good night for Philly down there in Virginia, no doubt about it. But, yeah, that was a good Herb versus J-Rock, man. Yeah, he's up and coming. We've been talking about him, too, over the course of our shows, watching some of these great fighters coming up out of Philly again.
Yeah, well, hats off to to J-Rock, because he put the fight down, and nobody thought that he can fight the fight that he needed to fight to beat Herd. Herd was just walking through guys. And in the second round, he caught him with a shot. Swift went down. He got up. But when he got up, them two guys went to fighting. They fought from round one to round 12. And this is what we talk about all the time, Bob, on air. When two guys fight like that, put everything that they have into a fight. That's what people want to see. That's what all that hard training day in and day out in the gym. You put it on the line. And, you know, Herd might have lost his title. Yeah, he lost. But it's the way that you lose is how you're going to come back and how people are going to like you, because now you got you have a loss. People want to see what you have in you if you can come back and win them championships all over again. And I think Herd can. Swift, he can do it. He has the right attitude. And losing, Bobby gets the mic. They interviewed him. He said, look, I lost tonight, and this guy, J-Rock was the better man tonight. And that's nothing but class. Nothing but class to a young man who his future looked bright then, and it still looked bright because them two fought. I mean, the last round was just amazing how them two guys fought. I mean, they were fighting each and every round, and that's what we asked. These guys, it was like a throwback fight of yesteryear, you know, with Aaron Pryor, Alexis Aguello, you know, Tommy Hearns, Sugar Ray Leonard, you know, those type of fights, that type of drama, you know, battling back and forth. This guy gets hit with a left and the right, the next an uppercut. He comes back, hits a guy with body shots up and down, you know. It's one of those just back and forth, man. And, man, you could see the power on them punches, man. You want to know either one of them's taking these power shots that these guys were winging, man. This was a fight, and I got that fight there so far this year. That's fight of the year in my book, Bob. And we got to mark that on the calendar as time goes by. But that definitely fight of the year just far.
Right. Wow. Great. Hey, you know, a couple other good fights. Well, just real quickly, I'd like to just bring that name back up again down in Delaware. We got Hector Camacho Jr. getting back in the ring on his comeback trail. He's been out for a while, but we saw him last year at the Atlantic City Boxing Hall of Fame. He looked good, and he's in the ring tonight on his trail comeback. How about that?
Yeah, he's coming back. He said that he wants to get back in the ring and win a couple titles. He said so. It looks like he got his body back in shape and condition, where his team felt that he was ready to go fight, and they're putting a card together. Heck, hats off to him, man. You know what a great fighter. His father also was just an awesome fighter, but it looks good. But it's to my understanding, Bob, the talk now is Manny Pacquiao and Thurman.
Right. They're looking for July 20th date and probably out in Vegas, but it's the WBA welterweight. You got the regular champ, Pacquiao, and the super champ in Thurman. And, you know, Thurman, he was off for a while, too. So he got back in a couple months ago where he did his last fight and looked good. But, you know, this is going to be an interesting fight here, too. You know, it was kind of a surprise to see that Thurman ended up with the debate with Pacquiao, but there we go, July 20th. So that's also there, too.
You got to give it to Pacquiao. He fights anybody, anytime, any place. He don't care who you are. He with name, no name, and all that. Manny Pacquiao is a fighter, you know. July 20th, that fight's going to be, Bob. And, you know, Manny Pacquiao at his age, it's how he gets the energy and the thing to get up, you know, and to go perform again on that high level with these young guys. You know what I mean? And you got to watch Manny Pacquiao. He's he's a tricky guy. If these guys don't use their huge strength in bronze against an older fighter, you know, that maybe has yesteryear has passed him, you know, you got to really keep a fast pace with an older fighter. And you, because you ain't going to outsmart him because of his ring experience of all of them upper echelon fights and world title fights, but you can out hustle him, and speed kills. If Thurman can put together and be a faster Thurman as fast as he can be and keep that punching pressure on him constantly, Manny Pacquiao's not going to be able to keep up with that with his age. But,
right,
you know,
yeah.
Manny Pacquiao has pulled many surprises off in the past. So this one makes the fight interesting.
Yeah. And other big news this week, too, Canelo Alvarez, he got an order from the IBF for mandatory. He just won that title, too. So that kind of throws that whole thing into a little bit of confusion. He's been ordered to fight Sergey Deryachenko on August 4th, too. And, you know, where we go from there, too. But there's going to be maybe a purse bid on that. But we'll see how that plays out. But right now, he's got to face his mandatory.
Well, the IBF released, after they did release that statement, they released a statement that said that they made a mistake. Because, that situation has become very confusing of what the actual ruling really is. And see where they're going to go with that, the IBF, how they're going to rule on that fight. Because, well, that open a trilogy fight with him and Triple G of the ruling. So we have to stay, keep looking at that, you know. Understanding, Bob, you have some good numbers that had came out that Daz had released for a change. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, let's talk about the numbers. First of all, let me just quickly go back to last week with the Williams versus Hurd. On Fox, that had a 2.1 million viewer peak, which is a pretty good number as well. So a lot of people were watching that fight of the year so far. So that's a good number. But, yeah, the Zone finally did release some numbers from a couple weeks ago from the fight with Alvarez versus Jacobs. And what happened was they said there were 600,000 views in the United States, a total of 1.2 million viewers throughout the world. And that total was for 8 markets, which include the U.S., Austria, Germany, Canada, Italy, Japan, Spain, and Switzerland. The only thing I have there is that they're missing out on Mexico. So I don't know what happened there, because with Alvarez being the Mexican native and the Zone having their own thing, I didn't see any numbers from Mexico, though. So that's kind of weird. That's what threw me a bit. But in comparison to that, too, we have to remember all the other things that were going on that day. You had the Beterbiev fight. He had 480,000 average on the Fox show, and the repeat was at 126,000 later in the night. But also, you had the Kentucky Derby going on with the controversial finish. That had 16 million people watching, and you had Golden State and Houston in the NBA playoffs. That was going over 7 million, and hockey had 4.5 million with the Bruins game people were watching. So those numbers, you know, for 600,000 in the U.S. is what basically the Zone is saying. But let's also mention that Alvarez took home $35 million in that fight, too.
A part of that contract that he signed for $300 and some million, correct?
Yeah, 365, I think it was. Yeah.
Yeah. So that
but
that
there
is
you
that...
go. Yeah. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, for a person in that weight class, you know, doing the things, that's terrific dough. This is what I'm telling Dante Wilder, man. You know, you got to sign that money. You know, Canelo Alvarez said, shoot, this money, this type of money don't come around. I'm signing $300.
Yeah.
And he signed, and he's getting it. He's getting it. You know, you got to fight to get it. But hey, it's better than not to have it. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Hats off to him. But that 1.1 1.2 it was, you said? Yeah, that's
1.2 worldwide, yeah.
That's a good number. He's building.
Yes,
that streaming service
yeah.
is building, and see if they can get the people in the numbers to watch those fights on the zone. But the king of pay-per-view, like him or dislike him, baby, is the money man. The money man, baby, the money man. You can like him, hate him. It's all in the sales, baby. When you got 4.5 million, all of that, and you do them kind of numbers constantly, Bob, the money
right.
man.
Right. Yes,
can the money man be the king of pay-per-view of all times? Is the question.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, well,
somebody else, go ahead.
Go ahead, Bob.
I'm just going to change, hey, yeah, Billy Joe Saunders fighting tonight, too. That's an interesting. That's on ESPN Plus on their stream coming over. And I was looking to take on the WBO World Super Middleweight crowd. But, yeah, he's had some problems, too. And he's involved in the program now and, you know, for the drug testing, and it's going to be a big night for Billy Joe Saunders, see what he can do, where he's at, because his name was up there with all these other names, and then, you know, he had his suspension, and he's trying to get himself back in the game, too, so a big night for Saunders.
Yeah, well, he's in tremendous shape. He looked really good when he hopped on the scales over there fighting for the middleweight,
super middleweight.
Yeah. So, yeah, his body's looking good. And, you know, Frank Warren is able to deal with these guys, you know. Even Tyson Fury, they have problems. He dusts their trunks off, and then he goes back at it, you know, and gets them guys another shot of fame and glory and greatness. And hats off to Billy Joe, because he needs it. What a great fighter.
Right, and you know, also on that card tonight, too, we get to take a look at Joe Joyce. He's that up-and-coming heavyweight from England, too, 8-0 with 8 KOs, taking on Ustinov, who's been around 34-3. But we'll see where Joyce is. He's one of these guys that's trying to make a name for himself, too, to get involved in some of these discussions. And he's looking good, too. And also this guy that's fighting over in Switzerland tonight, too, the unbeaten heavyweight, Joe Josh. He's 11-0, 9 KOs, too. So these two names that we're talking about right now today, we'll see where they end up in another year or so as far as, you know, maybe some of these guys might even end up against Fury or something else. You know, the guy that's missing from a lot of the conversation right now, he made some noise this week, too, was Dillon White. He came and ripped up on the WBC a little bit there, like, you know, because of the way they went down for Wilder to fight Brazil. He didn't like that one fight mandatory thing that they had. He wasn't invited to that. And he was yelling this week, you know, he fought 10 fights for the WBC, and Brazil's only fought one. So, you know, that's White. We were saying somebody's going to be the odd man out, and Dillon White is making noise because he is the guy who, you know, like the musical chairs, he's the one left standing.
well, Dillon White, you know, he signed with a promoter who has the most recognized heavyweight champion of the world, Anthony
right.
Joshua. When you're used as a policeman, they put him in the number one spot, and the promoter is not forcing the mandatory, and nobody's politically going there and fighting for him. You know what I mean? You know,
yeah,
he's
exactly.
open out,
yeah.
he's hungry. You know what I mean? But hey. They tried to play the game to let Dillon White fight Dante Wilder, and it didn't work. So now he's stuck. One thing I do know about the WBC, they do live up to the rules in grand style
right.
and grand fashion.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's
sure.
he's wrong with that. Is that if they didn't, you have to challenge it, and you know, hey, you have. You have a promoter that has a fighter like Mike Tyson. He's the draw. And, you know, Dillon White draws very well, but they don't have all the marbles matchbox in for him. So he's going to have to ride Eddie Hearns, who I like. He's doing a great job. He just has to ride his promoter. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Say, hey, look, man, I need this fight. Make the match. Get me the big money deals like everybody else. You know, sometimes when you're doing a lot of big things, you forget about other people. And not by mistake, you know, not by beating to forget about them, but mistakes happen. Mistakes happen.
Right.
But there's a lot of guys out there for him to fight.
Yeah. Yes,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I would like it to see him fight Tyson Fury.
Yes.
A big draw because he's a draw. Tyson Fury's a draw. Let them two fight.
Right.
You know?
I do agree. Absolutely. Absolutely. Too. And, you know, another guy's name that we'll be talking about a lot more, he had a fight scheduled next week on the 25th, and that's Alexander Usyk. We're looking forward to him coming out as a heavyweight, but he hurt his bicep in training for the Takam fight, and he's going to be out until August now, too. So in case people haven't heard that news yet, the Usyk fight is out for next week as well. But,
yeah.
We want to get to see where he's at. Our fighter of the year from last year, you know, we haven't gotten to see him yet as his heavyweight.
Yeah, he tore a bicep or something like
bicep,
that.
Bicep, yeah, the bicep, yeah.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
But, you know, you have Mike the Bounty Hunter.
Right.
Who has a,
he's fighting next week, I believe, too. Yeah,
Mike the Bounty Hunter. He was in the running for the fight with Anthony Joshua and then
Joshua,
get it.
Yes.
Yeah. And he fought Usyk. He lost close by Usyk, but you know Mike the Bounty Hunter. We'd like to see him get in there and mix it up. When he was an amateur, he was everything in the amateurs, and now he's right back with a couple upset wins. Guys taking fights at the last moment, he was able to climb in there. People think he was opponent, and he end up winning and bumping them off, Bob. So we look for him in the near future to be out there, man. There's a lot of the heavyweight division is like. It's finally coming around with some names. Now the names have to play the game called fighting each other.
Right.
Now if they can do that, and the promoters say, well, it's time. There's enough money involved on the outcome of the fight, and let them guys climb on in there and mix it up. It only makes it better money, and only makes it better for the sport. And they already bring over $1 billion in the game. So if you get $1 billion and you got a bunch of heavyweights that can fight and people enjoying the fight, like Tyson Fury and Wilder's fight was an exciting matchup.
Yeah.
It didn't do well on the pay-per-view. Next time it probably will, but my God, it was a great fight.
Yes, it was. All right.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
you know what I'm seeing, Bob? Is
that
these guys that are promoting, they don't want to take the money and put it in these guys and marketing and advertising. They don't want to do that. Like the fight going on in Brooklyn tonight, you hardly know there's a fight.
Right.
If we weren't average, you know, the boxing like aficionados as we call you, Bob. We wouldn't even hardly know that fight was going on in Brooklyn.
I know,
you know what
really,
I mean?
Right.
The heavyweight championship of the world. And the WBC heavyweight championship is a prestigious organization. And hardly no press. I guess that's why Dante had to come out and say something. Lisa got some ink.
Yeah.
You know? That's a bad thing to say, but Lisa got some ink. You know, he got some meat. So.
The Showtime thing, too. It's not a pay-per-view either. It's the regular Showtime, Showbox. And I too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Showtime got to put some money in marketing and advertising these guys. You know, Bob, there's a lot of fights going on. So if you don't market and sell the talent and just marketing and selling your network, I don't think that's the way to go. You know what I mean?
Get the name recognitions out there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell people
who
these guys are. You know,
the talent. That's right.
Yeah. We're talking about the heavyweight division making the move. Well, yeah, here we are with, like you said, a big fight tonight, and it's not being talked about. It should be number one on the list for viewing tonight, sure. I mean, there's a lot of really great fights, too, but, yeah, this is the one.
it was reporting, you know, that, you know, White over there, he thinks Dante Wilder could lose the fight tonight. You know, he said this a couple of days ago, that he believes Dante Wilder could lose the fight.
Well, Brazil only has one loss, and that was to Joshua. He got TKO'd in the seventh round of their fight. That's Brazil's only mark on his record. But I don't know. You know, I mean, everybody's going to say something, you know.
Stir
things up with,
Well, at 33 years old, Bob, you know, he's 20-1 with 18 knockouts. And like you're saying, is the only loss, you know, is to him. With Dante Wilder, he has 40 wins. And one draw with 39 knockouts. So the knockout ratio is high tonight, as you can see. It's very high that somebody most likely is going to get knocked out. You know, so by what we can see. So let's see if Brazil has made those adjustments that we talked about in the fight. We'll know in the first round. When he starts punching, he starts leaving his punches hang out there long enough. Dante Wilder going to blast him with a bomb. You know what I mean? And if he could withstand that barrage of bombs, and Dante Wilder don't stay busy, it could come down to something that I don't think the Wilder team wants to see.
Right.
Yeah. Now, in June.
That's Wilder's game.
It's Wilder's game. But I think it was June. We had reported 2 years ago, Bob, when he fought Anthony Joshua. That was in June 25th, 2016, in London, when Brazil, when that happened. You know, we had talked about that before, in the seventh round. So. Let's see if he learned something from that experience. You know, the climb back.
He's got three knockouts since then. Yeah, he's looked good since. You know, three wins, three KOs.
Yeah.
Since the Joshua fight too, so it didn't hurt him so far. You know, and it'd be a good fight. I know that for one thing. You know, looking forward to a good fight tonight. Cause you said Brazil has the height too, and the strength and the size difference. You know, 22 pounds. And we'll see what happens. Yeah, it'll be a good one. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, we have to get that situation, man. You know, Eddie Hearns has to make it clear that, I was using my guy as a policeman for our champion, but we got to match him up. You got to match him up. You know?
Right, and then everything falls into place after that, too, as we've said many times before, too,
Well, Hearns, you know, White is saying that Hearns said that if he was to fight Wilder before this fight made, they were talking like $7 million what White would get.
Right.
And, you know, Hearns chose not to let him fight him.
Yeah. I don't know what happened there. Well, yeah, we want to see that, too. But, again, I don't think people are really aware of what a good fighter White is. Again, he's another guy that's really not known over here too much.
Not in the U.S.
Not in the U.S., yeah, that's what I mean. But he's known over there. Yeah,
he's known over there. And what we're talking about, Anthony Joshua, you know, with that fight falling out against Miller, you know, it's bad enough tonight's fight's not doing that well in the box office. Let's see if it's a strong walk-up there in Brooklyn. Anthony Joshua's fight not selling very well neither in the Garden, to my understanding.
against Ruiz, yeah, Andy Ruiz. Coming
yeah.
in there, yeah. He only has the one loss, too, to Parker, who's the guy who beat him. But, yeah, that's kind of then. Like I said, we have all these fights happening, and we have actually Tommy Schwartz there with Tyson Fury on the 15th of June out at the MGM Grand in Vegas, too. So we talked about Tommy Schwartz, undefeated German fighter, heavyweight, and he gets his shot. And over here in Vegas, no less, too, first trip to America for the guy. So Tyson Fury and Tommy Schwartz fighting in Vegas on the 15th. So we have a lot of action. We're going to see this. We'll know a lot more by the end of the night on the 15th after the Fury fight. We'll have Wilder fighting. We'll have Joshua fighting. And we'll see where we are when we get done
with
Fury
fight. Could White fight, you know, instead for that diamond silver heavyweight, you know, that diamond belt at the WBC? Could he fight Luke Browning or Joe Parker?
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean? Could he fight guys like that? You know, Parker has come back. He's been winning some fights over there. Let's see what happens with that. You know,
sure,
that heavyweight
yeah,
division.
Yeah.
There's plenty of it, and you got to have. Somebody who can work the politic end of it, the politic in the position, in order to get the fights. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, right. Yeah, that's important. that's a
yeah.
big part of the whole thing.
yeah. Hey. Your magic lies with your people ties. You
right,
know.
There you go.
and if you ain't tied in with the right people, it don't look magic or mystical that you got it. But that's what Don King used to say. When you're tied in with the right people, you know, something magical or mystical could happen, you know.
That's great. Yeah, indeed.
So
mm-hmm.
so this fight on Showtime, it kicks off tonight, Bob, at 9 p.m.
Right. Yep.
Eastern time. So that Russell's the co-feature, right? WBC featherweight.
The featherweight title fight, Russell Jr., yeah, Gary Russell's taking on Kiko Martinez. Yeah, so, well, that's a good look, too. We'll have that.
Yeah.
Get to see Gary Russell fight tonight. Yep.
Yeah, that should be an interesting fight with them, too. So, hey, look, it's an interesting card tonight coming down the stretch here. And we'll know something tonight of how that heavyweight division is moving forward. So the night tale is the telling tales of everything, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So that's going to be a good night of fight. And also, we just want to mention, too, as we are getting close to the end, but we still have a lot of time left to just talk a couple more about those great fights going on over in Scotland tonight. You have two unbeatens going at it in two different title fights with the Beast, Ivan Baranchuk, and taking on Josh Taylor for the IBF. And WBC silver crowns for the Emmanuel Rodriguez and Inoue for the bantamweight title too. So man, lightweight bantamweight title fights between two unbeaten. You know, it's great to have two unbeaten go at it, but if you have a card where your top two fights are both undefeated fighters going at it, you know you're going to have a good matchup. And this Rodriguez Inoue, I'm looking forward to that one too, the bantamweight battle. Those guys are wiping out everybody.
Yeah, and just to remind people about that Showtime fight in Brooklyn with Dante Wilder in Brazil, Wilder is the a 10-1 favorite to win.
Right.
So this would be big for Brazil if he can pull a victory off. It would be real big. He'd upset the apple cart. Where nobody thought he could win. But also,
right.
Bob, on the boxing organizations, the NABF, the 2019 convention, was over there in Honolulu, Hawaii. Right?
Okay.
They're 51st. NABF convention is going on, and it's the second day over there. So there's a lot of people over there for the NABF. The NABF is part of the WBC. It's one of their subtitle championship inside the WBC. So they have merged together a long time ago, and their conventions over there. So, wow, that really, really good.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
I know, man. They're in God's country over there. It looks so, so beautiful, man. That water, the mountain. Oh, man, Bob. we would be soaking up the sun, baby. We'd be soaking up the sun if we were over there. Yeah, too much gets done when you're in nice places like that.
And the Hawaiian Garden, California, NABF, they have that female middleweight championship bout tonight between Aaron Tuffel and Raquel Miller. And, of course, we know the middleweight division is owned now by Clarissa Shields. But, you know, these are a couple of gals that are going to make a name for themselves, too, at the NABF title fight tonight, too.
Yeah.
Hawaiian Gardens. They didn't get to go all the way out to Hawaii. They stuck it in Hawaiian Gardens, California.
yeah. But, you know, talking about Melissa Shields, you know, in Flint, Michigan, she started in the community. Bob, she's taking her wherewithal for being a gold medalist, you know, just coming off a big win, to the streets. And in Flint, Michigan, she started a community program with Safe Space. And that's huge.
Yeah.
Man, that's good. Hats off to her. For
glad
doing
you mentioned that too. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. To do communable things, man. That's what being a champ's all about. It keeps you busy, you know. In between fights, you do community work and stuff like that until it's time to get back in the training, you know. And that's she's doing the right thing as a champion.
Right. And, you know, that was a big night that happened to be there for that fight, for the unification middleweight for the four titles. But, you know, one thing that we'll be talking about, too, as we get closer to June 1st, and the big fight on the undercard of the Joshua Ruiz fight will be another unification, this time for the lightweight titles between Katie Taylor, the Irish champion, Olympic champion, and winner of a lot of belts already. She's just wiping through the whole lightweight division. Now she's going to face the longtime champion, WBC champion, Persoon, the Belgian girl, who has 40 wins and hasn't lost since 2010. And that's something that we'll be talking about in the next couple of weeks, too. But, you know, we have a chance to have three different women holding all four belts in three different divisions. So we've got some women action going on, too. And that's what I'm looking forward to, the Taylor-Persoon fight. We talked about that one for a long time now, too, as Katie Taylor is making her way up through and winning titles. So that's something else we'll have to mention, too.
Oh, yeah. And while, you know, I forgot why we were talking about the heavyweights. Carr and Bryant, you know, the purse bid that was originally scheduled, this is the WBA heavyweight championship, you know.
Right.
It was originally, it went to a purse bid because they couldn't come to agreement. It was originally scheduled for May 17th, and now it will take place May 28th at the office of the WBA. In Panama City, Panama. So the minimum bid for that fight is $1 million. It's the distribution will be 75% for the champion and Carr, native of Syria and Germany. It's remaining at 25. So that'd be the split of the money, the $1 million. So whoever wins that purse bid, that's the money that these two guys will be getting. One will be getting 75%, and the other one, the challenger, Bryant, 25% of the money. So that heavyweight division is coming right along, you know.
Right, that's something we don't talk about those guys too often, too. Yeah, the WBA, like, I'm glad you mentioned that, too, because that's a fight that we said was scheduled originally, but now the purse bid and everything else. So it's delayed now. But we'll see the prices, though, right? And that's the minimum amount, too, the $1 million minimum.
Yeah, that's the minimum in the purse bid. So they're guaranteed champion 75% and the challenger 25%. So that's where we're at. And this fight taking place 10 days later, you know, the WBA heavyweight championship with Anthony Joshua, you know, we'll see where Trevor Bryant, where he stands after this first bid and after he has to fight this fight, we'll see where Anthony Joshua WBA situation will be, you know.
Right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. This it's that heavyweight division is getting kind of crowded at the top, Bob.
Yeah, it is. But that's what we want to see. We want to see the fights like that. Yeah,
it's all right. Yeah, the names are getting up there, Bob.
Yeah.
But fight the best, man. When you got a name, man, for name's sake, man, you got the best has to fight the best and forget the rest. You know, let them fight, man. You know, Wilder and Fury was a barn burner. And I believe Tyson Fury, Wilder will be a barn burner. And the rest of them, there'll be barn burner fights, man. People will sit back and enjoy, you know?
Yeah. So we'll have to see what happens.
Just to look forward a little bit to remind people, you know, we'd like to thank the National Boxing Hall of Fame, Bill and Linda, out there a couple weeks ago when Carl King, he went in, inducted into the National Boxing Hall. Amy Hayes, who came on here. Julio Cesar Chavez showed up. He got inducted. Bob out there. Oh, was it a great time, great food, great people, man. And let me tell you, Bill and Linda, they took good care of me under the tough circumstances and situations that what happened, you know, our bags got broken into and stuff like that. So, you know, Bill and Linda stepped up to the plate in grand style and grand fashion for us, and we like to thank them for doing that, really. Their caring hearts and stuff like that, they looked out for us. But, you know, Linda E. Haywood, Jack Johnson's great niece, she was out there with us, along with Will Williams and Rose Royce, the People's Choice, the award-winning photographer. She was out there with us, and it was an exciting time to witness all of that. We have great pictures. We got the award for Jack Johnson being inducted. And now what we're looking for here in around about 5 to 6 weeks, you know, give or take or so, we'll be going down there, Bob, to the Atlantic City Boxing Hall of Fame.
Absolutely. Looking forward to the return there. Yeah, going back to AC.
Yeah.
I heard it was 84 degrees in AC yesterday.
Oh, wow. Wow. 84 degrees. That's unbelievable.
Yeah. So hopefully the weather, well, I mean, that's a long way off. But, yeah, last year we were down there, it was kind of dreary in the 70s. But hopefully this year we'll have some nice sun to go along with all the other great activities. So, yeah, we're looking forward to that weekend down in Atlantic City. No doubt about it. And Ray McLean, I actually saw him down there at the fight in Atlantic City a couple weeks ago for the Shields-Hammer fight, too. Tell him we're looking forward to getting on down there. So he's looking forward to having us.
Yeah. Ray's doing a great job with the Hall of Fame. And our boxing history, Henry Hascop, in a couple weeks, he'll be back on the air. He'll be back on the air. He's doing fine. He told me the other week or so ago, he said, "Look, man, my arm's getting wore out." So he's going to be happy to be back on the show. his grandsons have wore his pitching arm out, you know, because he got a pitch. He got a pitch to him and things like that. But man, oh man, you know, we'd like to see him back in the saddle. Him and Tony
Green back. He's getting inducted into that Hall of Fame too.
Roberto Duran, Virgil Hill, you know, Bernard Hopkins, fighter who I trained, Tim Witherspoon. Wow.
Exactly.
It's going to be an exciting
yeah.
time from June 21st through the 23rd. And then you got the fear. Yeah. But, Bob, in closing, you know, it's that time, Bob. We like to thank people for tuning in to the World Boxing Review radio show.
Thank you again, yes.
Our man, Bob Murray, who took us on that magic carpet ride to Radio Aficionado, Bob Murray, thanks. And we like to thank all of y'all for tuning in. My name is Aaron Snow. They call me the Hall of Fame Trainer of Champions. Tune in next week, 11 to 12 o'clock, every Saturday.
Okay. See you then.